6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Friday, April 22nd, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Thank you so much, homeschoolers, homeschool moms, right-wing conservative Christians and the like. You know, the Democrats just love our ilk, don't they? Well, it's all got to be about politics and not about spirituality, right? Now it's all about our walk with God, really. That's what it is, especially for people who listen to this show. The nature of the calls that we got in our last hour, very reflective of spirituality, which we appreciate. All those of you out there who religiously are studying the Word of God and trying to live by it. As much as the news sucks this day and age, there are people out there that are literally trying to spread the word and encourage your walk with God to be upright. And there is a new book out called Walking the Line. Has nothing to do with Johnny Cash. No, no, no. It's written by Pastor Alan Davey. He's the senior pastor of Weston Park Baptist Church, an inner city church in Toronto, Canada. He's an adjunct professor of Christian spirituality and worship at Tyndale University and Seminary. His educational background includes a D-min from Bethel Seminary, rather, in St. Paul, Minnesota, a THM from Toronto School of Theology, and MDIB. Well, you got all these acronyms from Tyndale Seminary, and an honorable BA from New York University in Toronto, and a three-year diploma in music from Humber College in Toronto. Also a musician, singer, and guitarist. Well, we're not going to be singing Kumbaya here on the show, but Alan is going to be sharing the thoughts and reflections from the new book and talking about your betterment in your walk with God. Pastor Alan Davey, thank you so much for being with us here on the Power Hour.
Well, thanks, Dave, for having me on. Appreciate it so much.
Well, and you could buy the book, Walking the Line, at daveybooks.com. That's daveybooks.com. That's where it is if you want to dial it up and you like what you hear in this segment. And, of course, this is a perspective, I guess, on spirituality, which is truly powerful and, of course, you know, much needed in this day and age with the uncertain times we're in. Can you expound on what gave you, Pastor Davey, the impetus and, I guess, is your spiritual walk? You just decided to write this book, right?
Yeah, well, I have a bit of a cold, Dave, so if you, if I cough the odd time, you'll forgive me for that.
No, that's all right. It's our listeners that have to put up with it, but that's okay. I'll bless you in advance, all right? Bless you in advance.
Walking the line struck me. You know, Paul has a statement in Galatians about keeping in step with the Spirit. And that word, actually, stoikeo, just really means to keep walking, keep in step, just like an army battalion would be just keeping totally in step. We're invited there to keep in step with Jesus. And that title, Walking the Line, kind of struck me from that passage, really. And then the invitation is to really keep walking, and as we keep walking the line with Jesus, then we really do live our best selves. And so I think in our world we have so many distractions, so many pulls on us, you know, so much anxiety and discouragement. I think being in the Word and walking with Jesus will really enable us to be positive and filled with hope, and also give us a sense of vocation of what we are called to do and be. You know, someone had said there are three different verbs of having or doing or being, and we spend a lot of time focusing on the first two, you know, having something or doing something, but the most important verb really is to be. And so the book Walking in the Line is an encouragement for us to be in step with Jesus, and then as we do that, you know, good things will happen. That's sort of what got me going on it.
Well, that reminds me of the Greek word pistis, which I bring up on this show a lot, and that's the faith-based believing pistis that is found in the book of Corinthians. And, of course, we, you know, equate that to the fact that when you do something, you act, be doers of the word, not just hearers only, and you out there and you open those doors and things happen. And it's all because of where you put your faith, right?
That's totally it. Faith is, you know, it's a huge dimension of the whole thing, right? And I think our faith flows from, you know, a real encounter with Jesus. So meaning it's not just, you know, a rule-based thing, what we do on Sunday, and the rest of the week we just forget it, right? That's not going to empower us the way we want to be empowered in Christ. It's being connected conversationally, intimately with Jesus throughout the whole week. And that comes by faith. You know, we need that encounter, a personal encounter with Jesus. That will empower us. And I think that's what Jesus means when he talks about having faith with him and in him.
No doubt. You're the senior pastor at Weston Park Baptist Church.
Right.
And, of course, being the inner city church that it is in Toronto, and Toronto's from the last time I looked, it was a really, really clean city.
Right.
I'm not sure what the inner city looks like. If I can't equate it to the city of Detroit, obviously, which is markedly different.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're chuckling. I caught that. The circumstances are such that, you know, in our walks, with the Almighty, you know, basically is to stay plugged in. And so many times, because I've been to Baptist church before,
right.
I hear a lot of the, well, I can sin all week because I'll go to church and be made whole on Sunday. You've obviously heard that out of sight, out of mind condition that goes on. I mean, you see a lot of this common platitude going on throughout the world, don't you?
Sure, yeah. Well, and you know, that's a good phrase you just made, because I think with God, we can be like that, out of sight, out of mind, right? So we're not really reflecting on him through the week, and then we just slip into our, you know, into our old patterns. You know, I think that there's this tension within us that we want God at one level, but on another level we resist God. You know, we want him, but we want him the way we want him. You know, we don't want him messing around in areas of our lives that we feel comfortable with, maybe, and just want him to touch these buttons and not these buttons. And so I think what helps us to want him all the time is the relational piece, the encountering piece, to encounter God new every morning, you know, as Lamentation says, new every morning, hear his voice, receive his voice, and then be empowered by that voice, you know, and to not put up our blocks and resistance. Which comes back to the faith. We got to really hang on to that faith.
You do. And so when you wrote this book, I guess I was alluding to what earlier, the not so much the 4,000 or 40,000 foot view, but, you know, the down to earth view about what prompted you to write that book. You obviously saw something going on in society that motivated you to write it.
Well, you know, that's a good question. There's a couple of answers there. I mean, you know, it's interesting. I had my wife's family's actually from the States, from the Seattle area. And so a couple of things. The book is filled with art pieces of different shoes. And Joy is the artist, and unfortunately her life ended earlier than it should have been. But there are different types of shoes of all sorts, and I use one art piece of hers per chapter. And the art pieces really symbolize everybody's journey. So every pair of shoes are different. Everybody's faith journey is different. And the when I was doing her funeral, really, I was looking at her artwork, and when I saw that, her artwork, I thought, man, that would really work nicely in this book that I'm working on. And their family allowed me to do it. So on one level, it reminds us that everybody's journey is different. Your journey is different from my journey, right? Your calling is different from mine and all the people that we're engaged with. So we're invited to hear Jesus from our point of view, from where we are at, you know, what are our situations, our workplace, our family place? How do we hear that personal word? And so the book and the artwork is trying to get at individuals, right? Each individual, what is their journey of faith? So that's one level. On another level, yeah, in my own part of the city of Toronto, we live in a very multicultural part of the city, Weston Road and Lawrence. It's apartment lines. There are incredible density in the area. People from all over the world and from every faith group. I mean, people are everywhere. I mean, one of the biggest groups we have right neighborly to us in the church is a group from Somalia. And so there's a large Islamic community in our area. So we're surrounded by the world, right? Where we are. And so another part of the book is to get the message of Christ out so that people from different traditions can hopefully hear a little bit. And, you know, as I preach sermons on that, we have a sign outside. You know, what is the message that's getting out there? And so that was also a motivation for my own book, yeah.
No doubt. Well, and see, the thing that I have to wonder as well is all of the conflicts that are going on right now in your very own government with this socialist agenda that's happening right now. This obviously has to be bothersome to the people that are in your community. What kind of feedback are you getting from that?
Well, you know, in many ways, I find that people are, in our area anyway, they're just trying to get by, you know what I mean? Like, they're just honestly trying to get by. And with the whole COVID reality, I know in other parts of America it hasn't been as much of a problem, but in the city of Toronto, I mean, COVID definitely was an issue. And so people are afraid. People live with a lot of fear. They live with, should I go outside, right? And I was talking to a woman today from my church, and she basically has been indoors for 2 years because she's you know, concerned about her age, getting sick, and so people are just trying to get by. And so I find that a lot of them, their political awareness is not really, it's not high in their agenda, right? Their agenda is just trying to get by this week, this month, this year, and survive, you know. So it's a bit different, maybe, you know.
Well, it is. And the thing, you know, after watching the trucker strike in Ottawa, which is about 5 hours away from where you are, and watching all of this and watching the people, I mean, they're trying to take a stand for the right thing. They're trying to do the right thing. But, of course, the way that the left reacted and went after them, I mean, this literally, there is a spiritual battle going on in Canada as much as there is in the United States, I would think.
Yeah.
Is that the way you take it?
Yeah. Well, I think the issue of fear is huge, right? Do we live in the house of fear, or do we live in the house of love, right? So my book is encouraging people to, as we keep looking to Jesus and walk with him, we can move from fear and into love. And I sort of work on that plane, and then, you know, we hope that people draw that into other areas. But you're right, the trucking movement in particularly Ottawa was very strong, and people really took notice of it, for sure. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you have you're a co-author of Climbing the Spiritual Mountain, Abba's Whisper, The Passionate Bride, and what are these, how do these books relate to this new one?
Well, Dave, they're all based on the scriptures. So what I'm really encouraging people to do is, I think there really is power for the person in the Word of God. And unfortunately, a lot of times, Christians are not actually reading the Word very much. They'll read other stuff. You know, they'll read magazines, they'll be on their tablets. They're reading lots of stuff, news feeds, but they're not actually reading the Word. And so all of my books have to do with encouraging people to be in the Scriptures and to take them seriously. So this book, for example, is about hearing the commands of Christ. Do not be anxious. You know, do not be concerned and heavily burdened. Be salt, be light, have faith. To take the commands of Christ seriously and to let them fund your life. Another book, Climbing the Spiritual Mountain, is based on the questions of Jesus. When we hear a question of Christ, how do we hear it and how do we personalize it? When he says, do you want to be made well, to the paralytic at the pool in Bethsaida, do you want to be made well? Well, that's a question for us too. Do we really want to be well, made well? And what does that mean if we do? What changes have to take place if we're going to be made well? You know what I mean? How do I hear Jesus' word? So the questions, the commands, The Passionate Bride is really about the book of Ephesians and the nature of the church. So how are we the church of Christ in our world? So that's kind of where those books are going, yeah.
Right, and they're all available at davybooks.com, by the way. And you also have a newsletter. How often do you post on Substack?
You know what? I do that weekly, man, weekly. Yeah, I'll also just say the books are obviously also available on Amazon, right? So if people are more comfortable with that, they can look there. But, yeah, Substack once a week, and you can get that through davybooks.com as well. Yeah, I think it's a way of, you know, just sending out. Typically my Substack is featuring a quote, a spiritual thought, and it's hopefully positive, and it's just a reminder of God's presence with us in the day-to-day, right?
Now, with the davybooks.com and your Substack thing, do you take comments and phone calls and questions from people that you can respond to?
There's certainly room there for comments, for sure. You know, I haven't actually been doing that for that long, David. So the idea of phone calls and so on, I'm not sure it's set up for that, but certainly there are comments, right? And our website at the church there is quite interactive at Weston Park Baptist Church. I think it speaks to the nature of the church as well. It's not just an individual thing, right? It's not just my personal walk or your personal walk, your listener's personal walk, but collectively, how are we the Church of Christ? And then collectively, how do we engage, you know, the social realities that are around us, right? So, yeah, I mean, in my own church, my one voice, it's just one voice. But as a church, if you get a couple of hundred people, 300 or 400 people speaking to an issue, be involved in food banks, which we've done, we started a youth center. I mean, we can do things as a group that we can't do individually. So I think the nature of the church and the engagement of the church, as you said, the word faith, as the church community engages that, I think really good things can happen.
Well, it's all about community, and that's I get that. It's all about community, and the thing is that if you're going to motivate the community to do something, to go out and actually utilize their spiritualism, and the thing to me is, religion to me is man's twist on spiritualism. Spiritualism to me is the direct walk with the Almighty, with the Father, and letting all of those things that he talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 basically influence your walk with him. That's the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healing, and your ability to worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4, 24. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that come into play here. It's one of the reasons why I spent an extraordinary amount of time in the Word of God back in the late 70s and early 80s in a ministerial capacity. So it's one of the reasons that we bring you to the show is because of the fact that we have a very, very staunch conservative Christian audience here that wants to do the right thing. They don't want to be disturbed. Do you notice that our youth are being more affected by a lot of what's going on in the world today than the elderly have had a longer chance to walk with the Father?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, oftentimes people who are a bit older have, they have their own circle, right? They have their own faith group. They're connected to the church. Younger people, they're still finding their way, you know what I mean? And so they need friends, they need mentors, they need modeling. They need a lot of encouragement, man. Hence, that's why we started a ministry called Frontlines. Sorry, buddy. Frontlines is about engaging the community and the youth in our community. A lot of it is based on sports. It's based on music, and drawing them into a place which is safe, where they can build relationships and hear the gospel. And I think oftentimes, our kids in our apartment buildings on Weston Road, they need a lot of support because there's a lot of options, right? Gangs, for example, they're an issue. They're an issue in Toronto just like they are in Detroit, you mentioned. And, you know, the kids get a sense of belonging in a gang, but of course it also is very destructive. So then they need to get a sense of belonging somewhere else. And I think that's where the church can really be really, really helpful on a personal level. So, kids have it harder.
Yeah, they do. The thing is though, a lot of what I hear is the fact that parents are not rising to the occasion to make sure their kids get a spiritual education. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about being able to, they have to have previous knowledge of the fact that there is a God out there. And if they're not going to believe that, then obviously they're going to be sharing a prison cell with a lot of these other unbelievers and evildoers that obviously are being dealt with by the world. And because of the fact that we are in a constant war with Satan and trying to avoid and resist temptation, you know, when we have books like this that basically I'm kind of looking toward becoming aware of the fact that you are being attacked. God gives you word of wisdom as to whether or not to deal with this situation or not. Walking in the faith with Christ is one thing, but clearly having direct communication with the Almighty is to me has been the biggest concern, which is why, you know, it's always nice to have some illuminating ideas as far as your total awareness, joy, and spiritual authenticity. And the thing is that, you know, we as parents have to teach our children the way they should go so when they get older, they won't turn away from it. Does this book compel parents? If they read this book, could it enlighten them a little bit more as to educating their kids?
Well, I think it can, for sure. And I think, you know, the challenge with parents, just generally, is that people are so darn distracted, so people are torn apart, right? They're carrying their own stuff, and they're not looking to Jesus the way that we all need to be doing. And so the parents are burdened down. The parents are overwhelmed, and then they have very little left to give to their kids, right? It's like if you have a well, the well needs to be able to keep being filled up. And if it runs dry, you don't have anything left to give. And I think a lot of times families and parents, they're so dry themselves, there's very little to pass on. And so I think we definitely need to be funding or growing up in our faith, filling our own wells so that we can then have something that spills over to our kids, you know what I mean? So parents have a huge, huge responsibility in all this. It's one of the problems we have in our area, Weston, is a lot of times the kids are being raised by their grandparents. The person who's actually at home with them is often the grandmom. And so the grandmom is already older. She has her own issues. And now she's the one dealing with child care, right? Because the parents are off somewhere else. So, yeah, I mean, the presence of parents and doing your job, man, walking the line is hugely important.
Well, we appreciate you, Alan Davey. Thanks so much. You're senior pastor of Weston Park Baptist Church. The book you can get, it's called Walking the Line on DaveyBooks.com or on Amazon. We appreciate you. Thanks for coming on the show. We'll be back after this short break. Stay with us.
Offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
There you have it. 1:31 Central Time, Friday, April 22nd, 2022. Dave Krieger with you for this last segment of the Power Hour. 844-769-2944. The phone lines are open if you want to call and chime in on anything that's disturbing, events that are disturbing. And those of you, of course, in the Southwest could see a dangerous and dire weather pattern start to take shape today, according to the National Weather Service. I always refer to them as weathermen on crack. You can take it any way you want to, but the hot, dry, and windy conditions could mean some of your drought-stricken areas of the Southwest are in extremely critical threat of fire today, from central and eastern New Mexico to eastern Colorado, including Denver. Other higher population centers threatened include Albuquerque in New Mexico, Colorado Springs in Colorado. And, of course, this is the National Weather Service saying because of the fact we got very strong winds and exceptionally low humidity above normal temperatures and a very unstable air mass, that is an extreme possibility today. Today is not the day to go out and burn leaves in your backyard. No. So, yeah, we don't want to do that. We are getting word. We're going to talk about COVID for a little bit here. And those of you who want to chime in, 844-769-2944, the phone lines are open. Understand that Biden is a very sick and twisted individual. And he supposedly gets a COVID-19 booster shot in the South Court Auditorium of the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, Monday, September 27th, 2021, at the White House. And, of course, an FDA official said a fourth COVID booster should be seen as a stopgap measure. We simply can't be boosting people as frequently as we are. Dr. Peter Marks, director for the Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research, made the remark at a recent meeting of the FDA's Vaccine and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. I hate to say this, folks, but it's all hogwash. Or maybe I don't hate to say it. You know, I'm looking at if it's the FDA, like Dr. Brian Artis said on her show, if it's the FDA, the CDC, or the NIH says anything, run the opposite direction. Do just the opposite. Whatever they say, do just the opposite. We are getting reports there's snake venom in the bloody jab, especially Pfizer, who just acquired Genentech, who manufactures 19 different snake venom peptides as part of its manufacturing process. Now, why would a company like Pfizer buy a company like Genentech if it wasn't going to use the snake venom in its, or already has been using snake venom in its vaccines? You just have to look at the end result. I got word this morning in a conversation with one of my contacts in the airline industry, and yes, I do have them. I attend a lot of their Zoom meetings. And there's a real serious issue going on with people trying to understand the health of their pilots when they board an airplane thinking they're going to get from point A to point B without an issue. Well, I got a phone call this morning. I did not generate the call. The call came into me on my cell phone. And this was a pilot who was telling me that they indeed have confirmation that an airline pilot who just exited the plane after landing at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport was deplaning, got onto the tarmac, and collapsed. Had to be used a defibrillator three times to charge and shock his body back. Now, when you're dealing in situations like this, what would happen if he stroked out in the cockpit at 38,000 feet and you happen to be a passenger on his plane? And this guy got the jab and everybody knows it. And this is what the pilots have been trying to fight. There's a lot of pilots out there that literally have had their activities, their flight activities restricted because they refused to get the jab. Do you blame them? Would you want to be in an airplane where the pilot is all of a sudden stroking out in the cockpit? Who's going to fly the plane? You? You know, the flight attendant sitting there, you know, all worried about wearing a mask. And here you have a pilot that could stroke out in the cockpit. And next thing you know, your plane is 3 feet in the ground. So it's one of those things that, you know, you're going to hear more about this next week, because apparently the pilots' unions and their affiliations. And of course, we've had Josh Yoder on our show before from freedomflyersus.org. And he is working with this group collectively and hooked them up with several attorneys. And I can tell you next week, we're going to have some interesting news on the 27th for you. We're going to be talking in great detail with Lane about all of this stuff. He is our spokesperson that called me this morning. We're going to have him on the show discussing what's going on with the pilots' unions, what's going on with the jab, what the airlines are doing to encourage these pilots to take the jab. There, to me, this makes no sense. If the jab is causing all of these people, I can go onto Joe Mercola's website and click on News You Need to Know, and there's probably at least 20 stories. And I'm not talking about the height of a building. I'm talking about 20 different news stories of people who have had the jab that all of a sudden are having adverse event reactions. They're stroking out. They're dying of a heart attack. They have myocarditis, pericarditis, any number of things, spasms, convulsions. And yet we're told that this stuff is safe and effective. When all of the conditions of all these people, 900 some odd athletes dropping dead on the field, or dropping dead and later dying in a hospital. And so when you hear FDA officials making comments like this, it should be taken with a grain of salt, because these people are there to do one thing. They're evil, and they're designed to eliminate you from the face of the earth. Because if you take enough of these boosters, well, there's a problem. And you're going to have one. And this is one of the reasons why we have people like Dr. Jane Ruby, who is going to be at Myrtle Beach with me in May next month when I'm speaking on stage about how the left-wing media has destroyed America. And see, it's largely in part due to the fact that they have been utilized by the forces of evil in this country, in D.C., to paralyze, put people in constant fear. And just like Pastor Davey was just talking about in our last segment, this is all the media did, was scare the hell out of people and make them stay in their house. There are still people out there, believe it or not, that will not leave their home because they're so scared. And they don't even want the jab. They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of their own shadow. You know, there's something wrong with society if people are getting depressed like this and they have to order all of their food from some grocery store or Amazon and have it delivered to their doorstep, and they, you know, basically have to like open their door, peep and look out to see if the food's there or not. And they don't want to come in physical contact with anybody. You see, this is a sad state of affairs when America has been put into a state of pandemonium and fear. This is exactly what the ministers and spiritual leaders of this country are trying to dissuade people from, that fear, and put them into a God-fearing, right, like-minded thing. So, you know, you can't be walking around in a funk and be walking with God. It just doesn't happen that way, folks. So, you know, when you see a government that has gone reckless and you see one side sitting there giving accolades and kudos to the nut job in the White House with a mental acuity of a 2-year-old or worse, who commingles his answers with Title 42 and mask mandates, I mean, it's just, it's a craziness. And this country is being run by a bunch of crazy fools. There is no God. That, the Bible even says it. The fool saith in their heart, there is no God. And this is the way these people are. They worship Satan. They say, in God we trust. They spend money into currency that's got, you know, in currency that says, in God we trust. Says that on all our coinage. And you understand that our founding fathers are the ones that set this up. Not just the Freemasons and whatever other, you know, we don't look at any of this stuff as conspiracy theory. It's just like the stuff that, you know, we were sitting there talking about pilots stroking out in the cockpit. And people look at me and go, Dave, come on, what are you doing here? Nobody wants to fly in an airplane. You know, there's a lot of people already that aren't flying in airplanes because they've already realized the possibility of this actually happening. And we want to let you know that this flight crew and all of their passengers that landed in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport the morning that pilot collapsed are lucky that he collapsed when he did, because if he'd have done it on approach to the airport, or if he'd have done it in mid-flight, things might have gotten very testy, because somebody has to stop and give him immediate treatment right then and there. That's why they have defibrillators on airplanes. Now imagine that. The co-pilot's got to put something on autopilot and the guy is stroking out as they're on approach. No, no, no. It's got to be all hands on deck on approach. You know, yes, they have autopilot mechanisms that can land that airplane, but it's a whole lot better when you have somebody that's totally lucid at the controls and isn't stroking out. And that's why we're going to have people from the pilots associations on the show to give you an exclusive about what they're trying to do to stop this nonsensical behavior on the part of these woke airlines. I mean, I'm sorry. I sometimes have a hard time flying Southwest. I thought better of that airline. I really do like flying Southwest. I don't like flying any of the other airlines. I just don't. I won't do it anymore. And it's not because the flight attendants are the way they are. It's just the overall behavior of the airline, their wokest behavior. And, you know, I, like I said, with Southwest, I thought, you know, we knew better. And I still have to fly them. I won't fly anyone else. I just won't. And my flights have been, and I will tell you this, I've restricted my travel via air as much as possible. I do little, if any. And so I don't know the way that people are thinking out there. I'm doing it as a precaution, because as long as these unions and as long as the NIH and as long as the CDC and everybody else and Lord God Fauci, the patron saint of Wuhan, akin to Mangala, is going to be insisting that everybody gets boosters and jabs and shots and vaccinating our kids and poisoning our kids with snake venom, I have a real problem with the entirety of society, because if they're, what did the devil appear to Eve as? A snake? Maybe it was not a snake. How do we know? But see, it's always being portrayed in the Word of God as a snake. And people don't like snakes. A lot of people don't like snakes. People who play with snakes, I got to wonder about. People who have pythons and snakes as pets, I got to wonder about them sometimes. You know, what would prompt you to have something that, to me, represents Satan or these reptilians that some of these QAnon people talk about that are under the earth and they're taking in all these kids and consuming them as sacrifices? I mean, come on. Some of this stuff is really strange out of the gate here, folks. You'd be surprised what we hear in all the back channels at BitChute and Rumble, various things like that. I mean, there is a huge gathering of people that really feel like something really weird is going on, and it's all basically under the earth. So, like I said, you have the opportunity to chime in while we still have a few minutes left of the show, 844-769-2944. We will have that pilots union on next week, so you definitely want to be tuning in, because things just get, it gets thicker as time goes on. Patrice in Ohio, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing great. What say you?
Well, there's a couple of things. You can't tell me that all this COVID shot and death is just not some satanic ritual on their part that they just absolutely are enjoying this whole thing. It's disgusting. They knew that death would come. And they know if a pilot flies a plane, you're going to kill 300 people at a crack.
Makes sense.
So, to add insult to injury, you know, all these planets aligning, I guess.
I remember that, yes. Yes, we know that that's happening. Well, we know that this is the first time in like 1,000 years it's happened.
Yeah, well, this is one of their little markers. So objectives got to be met because of this, because they know they're running out of time.
Well, they are. We, the people, have to rise up and do something, right?
They're all into astrology. You know, they're all into astrology. They're all into the numbers, you know, Freemason. You know, it's
yeah,
all
here,
part
here,
of it.
And it is. And here for the longest time, I thought that when, you know, you went into a nightclub back in the 70s, people said, oh, what sign are you? Like they were looking for some sort of common denominator. You know, it's got to make you wonder about all that, doesn't it? We appreciate your call. Thank you so much for chiming in. Rita in Missouri, how are you? Did we lose Rita?
Hello? No, I'm here.
Okay. All right. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. What's on your mind?
Okay, I just recently found a doctor who's been working on things for the immune system for several years, and it also helps with the blood clots.
Okay.
Okay, it's a combination he's put together with the product is actually, it's a letter Z dash the letter D T O X, so zinc detox basically. It's got vitamin C, vitamin D3, zinc, quercetin, and NAC, which is N-acetylcysteine, to support the immune system and help prevent blood clots. And so that's what's happening to a lot of people. It's blood clots.
Well, it is. I mean, you heard me talking about the embalmers that couldn't get blood out of people because it was so thick. And when they cut open their legs, there was a blood clot the size of their iliac artery coming out of their leg that was about 3 feet long. You heard me talk about that. I mean, this is why they call it the clot shot.
Yeah, exactly. But this doctor has been working on this combination for several years. So it's N-acetylcysteine, NAC, they call it.
Right, and it helps I have it in my possession.
Blood clots. Okay. Yeah, it's like anything anymore to keep us, even if we haven't taken the jab, to keep us, as our immune system, as good as possible.
Right. Yeah, well, we're getting a lot of stories about the issues with this spike protein and people shedding. And the fact is, if you have the spike protein or have COVID, some of the stuff that's in COVID per se, the disease itself, causes a lot of this long-term spike protein manufacture in the system even months after you've gotten over COVID or been exposed to it. And the thing is the NAC, as I understand, the N-acetylcysteine, is supposed to slow down and even stop the process of the spike protein reproduction in the system.
Okay. Now I haven't heard that part. Now what I did hear and I bought some from the Power Mall is lithium balance, because they're saying that the lithium will actually not knock off the spike proteins.
Huh. Okay. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so I bought some of that just as a preventative, like you say, always have something on hand, just, you know, in case.
Yeah, did you buy your potassium iodate or your Nuke Protect yet?
Oh, I bought my potassium iodide years ago, and what I recently bought was iodine and an Absorb Balance to help the bodies, because everybody's body won't absorb iodine the same. So it's an Absorb that in a separate bottle.
Ah, okay. Well, there you have it. So, I mean, this is something that, you know, a lot of people need to be prepared for a lot of different things. And so you're basically, I think, of the opinion as me that this is definitely what we're dealing with here is a bioweapon, and that these people are not going to stop.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah, because I have subscribed to some of the emails for doctors on the East Coast and doctors on the West Coast, and as I get their information, it's way ahead, and it's true that the media won't tell.
No, they won't. This is how why I'm giving a speech in May on the 14th. This is going to be streamed live, by the way, on thepowerhour.com. I will be on stage at 11:15 a.m. Eastern time, which is 12:15 or 10:15 Central. And I'll be speaking on the same stage as Eric Trump and General Michael Flynn and others, Dr. Jane Ruby and people who are frontline doctors and whatnot, talking about how the left-wing media is destroying America. And these are all either lies by omission or lies by commission. And, of course, you know, we can't trust anything the government tells us these days. We just have to look at the old saying, you shall know them by their fruits. So we appreciate your input on that, Rita. Thank you so much for giving us a heads up on the new stuff that you're finding. Wuhan, by the way, the Institute of Virology's got the right to make a partnering U.S. lab wipe out all their data from collaborative work. Did you know that? This is a legal document just come out, a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, of cooperation signed between the Wuhan lab and Galveston National Laboratory at the University of Texas Medical Branch. By the way, did you know that lab, I believe, is a level 4? It makes it obligatory for each of the two labs to delete secret files or materials at the request of the other party. Why are we engaging in memorandums of anything with China? What is up with these people? Obviously, this is something else I have to look at and say it's nefarious in its very nature. These confidentiality terms were signed between these two entities in 2017 and stays in effect through this October. But the terms would remain binding even after the agreement's five-year duration expires. This according to the agreement. How can you enforce an expired agreement? This is like a power of attorney recorded in the land records. And then they come back and they rely on the power of attorney, I'm talking about the banks, to foreclose and steal people's property. When the power of attorney is expired because the REMIC trust is closed, the servicer's out of business, whatever the case may be, that you cannot sign a power of attorney from point A to point B if point A doesn't exist anymore. It just doesn't happen, and point B cannot continue to rely on what that power of attorney does. It's like when a person dies, a power of attorney that its heirs had to take care of it. Let's say that you are taking care of an elderly person and they have a power of attorney, a durable power of attorney. That means you can make decisions for that person until they pass away. And upon their passing, guess what expires? The durable power of attorney. And what kicks in then is the personal representative agreement that is denoted in the will. And I'm speaking in general terms here. I'm not giving you legal advice. I can't do that on the show, even though I'm a paralegal and I've researched the hell out of this stuff. I can't give you legal advice on the show because I would be practicing law without a license. And, of course, the states frown on that. A friend of mine spent several years in prison because she apparently and unknowingly held herself out as a lawyer. She was tricked into it. I'm telling you, the system is not friendly when they want to rear their ugly head and come after you. But I can also tell you this, a lot of people out there that don't trust attorneys, I actually got one suspended from the practice of law. I was a direct participant in it and gave up an affidavit to let the State Bar of Texas know about this particular attorney that he took money from somebody and went on vacation rather than taking deposition of two deponents that I already found. They didn't even work for the entity that they used to work for, and they basically were involved in creating one of the many millions of bogus documents that's in the land records. Which, again, I keep telling people, you know, I have a book at the Power Mall called Clouded Titles, and it explains a lot of what the system continues to do, even though in February of 2012, all the mortgage loan servicers signed an agreement with what is known as the federal agencies that are over housing. This is just not FCIC and all of these other entities. It's not just them. And, you know, the federal government is in charge. There's a whole aspect of federal government that is in charge of the oversight of these mortgage loan servicers. But the problem is even though they agreed with 49 states' attorneys general not to do what they were doing, it was business as usual as soon as the ink dried on the agreement. And so they continue to do it. They continue to hire third-party document processing mills to go out and create documents in the land records, which I always tell people, and I'm going to be posting a blog post here shortly on cloudedtitlesblog.wordpress.com that is talking about qualified written requests. That's QWRs under RESPA Section 6. RESPA is the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, and RESPA Section 6 gives you the right to send a letter to your mortgage loans servicers, QWR specific address. They have a specified address that you have to send it to. Otherwise, it doesn't have any legal meaning at all. They don't have to respond if you send it to the wrong address. You got to send it to the right one. And every servicer has a QWR address, and you have to call to get it. Sometimes they put it on the notices that you get in the mail. And if you think for any reason at all that you're getting behind in your mortgage payments because more foreclosures are on the upswing, if you have a feeling of any of this, you need to start initiating qualified written requests. This is extremely important. I'm going to post some samples on the blog so you can see it. And don't send them all out at once. I keep telling people if you send all 50 of these requests, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to get a document dump, which means they're going to shower you with all this superfluous information, or in the alternative, you're going to get nothing. They're going to send you a letter saying you're overreaching, it's overburdened, it's, you know, burdensome, it's not, we're not going to answer you at all. You didn't send it to the right address, yada, yada, yada. And no matter how many times you sue us, we're going to win because you didn't do what the administrative remedies afford you to do under Section 6 of the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act. So it's one of the reasons why I'm doing this, because so many people now are calling and I'm having to write pleadings for attorneys defending foreclosures. So in the meantime, we will be back on Tuesday. We're taking the day off on Monday. I'm hoping that we're going to have some really good, you know, replays for you as we change over internet to fiber optic. In the meantime, Dave Krieger wishing you the best. Stay safe. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Who's standing on the mountains? Who is on the earth below? Bigger than the heavens and the lover of my soul. Creator God, He is Yahweh. Great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Those of Shalom, He is Yahweh. The righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.